If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
We're doing a free plus shipping and handling funnel. And in that funnel, we have a bump offer, which temporarily is just a donate $5 button. Literally just says, do you want to support the artist and give an extra $5? 25% of people click that button. 25%. Wow.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music. You can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. All right. I'm excited to be here today with my new friend, Andrew Southworth. Andrew is the founder of Genera Studios. They offer comprehensive music marketing education and services for indie artists and record labels. He's helped clients achieve over 100 million Spotify streams through strategic marketing campaigns. He's developed tools like Music Funnels and Melodus to empower artists and helping them build sustainable careers. And I'm excited to have him on the podcast today to connect a little bit on the current landscape of the music industry, especially for indie artists. What are some of the best tactics and strategies that actually allow artists to connect with their fans and build their communities in a way that also they have more of a relationship or more of an authentic connection with their fans, and they don't have to rely as much on a record label. So Andrew, it's great to have you on the podcast. Also, this is our second time connecting. He's a new father. And I think I mentioned before, Andrew, I feel like I've seen you around. I've had a lot of folks who have mentioned you, and I'm like, it's kind of surprising that we hadn't connected until we did. But immediately when we first met, I was like, oh, this guy's awesome. Like, I'm glad that we finally had a chance to connect, and it's great to have you on the podcast today.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Glad to be here. Also, it's been, I've seen you around for several years now, and same thing. It's shocking to me that we haven't connected because we kind of instantly clicked. And also, we have a lot of overlap in terms of what we talk about, right? Like, some people are all about, some people are very against like ads or something, and some people are very for ads, and that's kind of both of the camps that we're in. And then some people are all about just social media and streaming. And some people are only about the other side of things. And I think we're both kind of the both camp side of that as well. But we can get into that as we go throughout. But yeah, man.
I think you're right. I think the one part that I resonate with from what I've seen from you is sort of like the analytic, like geeky. Hopefully you don't mind me saying that, because I'm a total geek.
Same, but I went like to running, school for engineering, so I'm a total nerd. So
Awesome. And I think that one thing that it seems like you have like a real specialty in, that's not something that is really a strong suit for me or something that we focus on as much, is around streaming and using these tools to actually increase your Spotify numbers and increase your metrics, which, is an important part of the music industry. When, a lot of record labels and a lot of venues and different places, they look at your streaming metrics, and it's an important way to connect with your music. So Maybe to start with, could you share just a little bit about your background for anyone that this is their first time meeting you? What really led you to creating your studio and creating the resources that you offer now?
Yeah, man. Well, I'll give a quick backstory so we don't spend 3 hours talking about my background. But I've been making music for 19 years since I was 12. Oh, wait, no, 20, 21 years. Wow, I'm 33. I feel old now. But 21 years, and
I'm 33 too, by the way.
Whoa! Oh, yeah,
the exact same age.
Yeah. So I'm 33. So I've been doing music for a long time, and I've been doing YouTube since maybe 2008. Originally, I was doing just for fun metal vocal lessons because I'm to scream and do vocals in metal bands and stuff like that. And that's how I initially kind of grew my channel. It was very casual, but then sometime around like maybe 2017, I started taking it more seriously about doing music production content instead. Eventually, I started trying to promote my music. I graduated college in 2016 and then got my master's in 2018. So I felt like I had all this free time opened up, which sounds kind of silly because I was working full time, but I went from working full time, going to grad school at night, to just working full time. Well, let's just basically fill that time with music, try to make music, promote it, see what happens. And then I just started sharing what I was trying, the failures and the wins on the internet, and people seemed to dig it. And so I just kept testing more stuff and trying more stuff. And then people started asking for different things like, hey, do you have like a course? And I was like, I could probably make a course. Can I buy an hour of your time? I could probably hop in a Zoom call. Can I hire you to run my ads? I could probably do that. And then so over the years, I just started adding these things that people wanted. And as far as the studio goes, that was also kind of a organic, casual thing that's built over the last, 21 years of making music, right? It's people are like, how do you afford all that music stuff? And it's like, well, 21 years, right? It's like you buy like little pieces every year. Next thing you know, you have a studio with so much music gear, you don't even know what to do with it. So everything was kind of just on the fly. Nothing was planned. As much as I would like to say that I had some master plan building my YouTube channel and my business and all that stuff, it was very much just kind of share stuff, talk about it, people asking me for things, and then just kind of figuring it out as I go.
Mm. Awesome. That definitely makes sense. And it sounds like what your compass kind of was something I hear from pretty much every successful person that I know who's kind of built something fulfilling or meaningful, or that's providing value, has a similar mindset, which is like, how can I serve people, or how can I just like help? How can I help? And so It sounds like you had a compass for what people needed help with or what they were asking you for. And so that started with you sharing what was working for you and the discovery you're on. People are like, oh, like I need help with this. And you're like, I guess I could help with that. And then like, I need help with this. And you're like, well, okay, like if I could help with that. Yeah. It is interesting how, just that focus on providing value and kind of answering the needs of, just kind of like a businessy way of saying that, but like the needs of the market, it seems like a powerful compass.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of different ways to look at it, but originally everything I was doing was just for myself. Right. And so I was like trying to help myself. And then since I've always just been the type of person that likes making YouTube videos and sharing stuff online, I kind of always felt like I just enjoy teaching stuff. And so anytime I learn something, I kind of just make content about it. And in some ways that kind of helps me learn it better. But that also, I don't know, there's something like some itch it scratches. And then you have people like commenting and kind of pushing back on certain things you're doing. And they're like, oh, look, maybe I should try this, right? This person said this, maybe I should try that. It's worked well, and it's never felt like I had to really try to come up with some big plan or anything. It's kind of just been like, I mean, obviously there's planning and there's things that happen right behind the scenes now, but like, everything's felt very organic, and I've been very like happy that I haven't had to make it this big businessy vibe,
mm-hmm. Awesome. Having built a successful YouTube channel and having worked with a lot of artists now, both like for yourself and for the artists that you run ads for, I'm curious what, at the time of recording this, you kind of see as the biggest challenges that artists are struggling when they first come to you, that you've been able to help them with.
Yeah, the number one is definitely that they make great music. They're releasing it regularly. Maybe they're even making great content, but they're just not getting anyone to listen to it. Sometimes they're even having success on social media, but nothing's translating to anything else, whether that's streaming or touring or merch or Patreon, et cetera. They're just feeling kind of stuck. And sometimes it's partially their fault, right? Sometimes there is something inherently wrong that they're doing. Sometimes their music isn't ready or whatever. But a lot of the times, by the time someone gets to me, they usually have pretty great music. They usually have tried a bunch of things and they're just wanting help. And sometimes that is, well, a lot of the times when people come to me, just because kind of what I'm known for, it's, you know, how can I run ads to help this whole process that I'm running? And sometimes they've tried it already and they've had no results. And so they're either looking for me to help them learn how to do it themselves, or they're looking to just get it off their plate because they hate doing it, whatever reason, right? Like ads, running ads aren't for everyone. Marketing's not for everyone. That's why labels exist. That's why managers exist. So definitely that's the most common reasons. Like nothing's working and or they never know how to do it in the first place, or they're looking to just not have to handle it themselves.
Mm. Got it. Yeah. So usually they're at a point where, you know, they have this music they've invested a lot of time and energy into, and now like the music isn't necessarily the biggest problem anymore, but just like knowing how to promote it and get it in front of the right people. Yeah. I'm curious, when it comes to ads, like we mentioned at the beginning, I feel like we have a lot in common in terms of like our appreciation and love for the tools that are available. I'm curious what like your favorite part is about ads versus, obviously there's a lot of different ways that people can generate traffic, but what is it about ads that makes you think that this is something that at least is one of the tools that artists should have in their arsenal?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a key part. It's definitely one of the tools everyone should have. Like it should never be the case where you make music and you just run ads. You know, that pretty much never works. Right? You like, if people come into your world and you're not posting on social media, they're not really going to stick around your social media. So social media is going to die, and that's going to hurt everything else you do. And if you don't have a brand, then that's not going to help. Right. So you have to have everything. The nice thing I like about ads is they're a way to accelerate things in a predictable way. You can't guarantee that you're going to go viral on social media. You can't guarantee that you're going to really do anything with social media. Like you could, I've seen people post videos every single day and never get 1,000 monthly listeners, and they do it for like a year straight. And sometimes, again, that's partially their fault. The content's not that good and they never went through the trials and tribulations to figure it out. But the nice thing about ads is that it is predictable. You can spend a little bit of money, get a little bit of results, and kind of see what's working, what's not. And you can test different parameters, test different audiences, test different videos, and just get numbers that tell you like what's doing better and what's not. And social media gives you some numbers about what's doing better and what's not in some ways, but it's all so much more neatly laid out and trackable inside of something like Facebook ads. Let's say streaming specifically, let's say you're testing five different audiences and you have four different videos in each audience that you're testing. You have lip sync videos at different parts of the song that you're testing. You can pretty clearly see, you know, this is the cost per conversion for this video, for this audience, for that video, for this audience. And it kind of gives you information on how to proceed forward. You can break that down by age. You can break that down by gender, break it down by country and placement and a million other variables. And then you kind of see like, okay, I'm spending $5 a day and I'm getting this. Well, that's going pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that. And I could afford to do more. So my next release that's coming out, you know, maybe I'm going to allocate $1,000 to promoting it. And then maybe it does really well. And then you get this growth. And then now you have this, maybe you started at zero and you have 10,000 monthly listeners. And now that can open up the door for a lot of things. For some people, it's just keep releasing music and that's that. For some people, it's let's try to hit up some other bands and do some collabs. Let's try to hit up some other bands and get an opening slot. Let's try to contact some venues and see if we can play. Because if you hit up a venue and show them your Spotify with 32 monthly listeners, like there are some venues that will just take it by your show history. Well, your show history pretty much always matters. Like if you can show you've sold out something, like that's king. But if you have no show history, that can be like your ticket into actually getting opportunities. Or maybe all your show opportunities that you've had in the past have been like insignificant compared to what you're trying to get now, it's hard for people to take you seriously if you have like 17 or 32 or even 500 monthly listeners. As unfortunate that might be, because I'm sure you know that a Spotify streamer isn't necessarily a showcomer or a merch buyer or whatever. So it can be a little industry. I call some of that stuff like industry bullshit. But the reality is that industry bullshit exists. So even if you don't care about the streaming per se, it can help you out with other aspects of your music career in a predictable manner that you control the spend and you control the variables.
That 100% makes sense. And, it sounds like what you're saying is that, these tools help you accelerate your path. You could post every day for a year and you may or may not, have attraction from that. With ads, you actually can see scientifically what's working, what's not. You can get real variables, kind of know and learn a lot more quickly. And one of the best parts about, having this type of strategy is it does help you get an initial foundation on, platforms like Spotify, where the truth is, even if not every Spotify stream is equal, people pay attention to Spotify stream. It's one of the fastest ways to have an idea of how big an artist is. And that helps when getting opportunities like booking shows. And I 100% agree in terms of the Spotify streams, I think are an incomplete equation because Spotify, one Spotify stream might not necessarily be the same as another one. You don't really know, is this a bot necessarily? Obviously they're kind of cracking down on that. It seems like a lot, but
into the playlisting world, that's when it gets even more nefarious. Like with the ad world, if you're showing an ad on Facebook or Instagram, it's not like a bot on Instagram would have an account on Spotify. So it's not like a bot because they're all coded, custom coded. So could someone code a bot that clicks on ads for musicians, lands in a landing page, knows how to navigate the page, and then also has a Spotify account? It is theoretically possible, but it's absurd to think that that's what's happening, right? Because I've seen some people say, that's just bots clicking and streaming. It's go learn some stuff about how people code these bots, and you'll see how silly that is. But I've had some people say that, and but yeah, you're right. All streams aren't equal. And there are on Spotify, there's a huge problem with artificial streaming. And there's scams that are around that. And it's a freaking nightmare. You've probably seen artists in your community that they're added to a random playlist when they never even submitted to a playlist and they get a massive spike for one day. Next thing you know, their whole album's pulled off Spotify and DistroKid's accusing them of artificial streaming, and the artist is pissed because they're I didn't even do anything. And I've seen so many people just quit streaming altogether because of that. They just stop releasing their music online, which is a damn shame, and it's not their fault. It's really Spotify's fault.
100%. Yeah, and I think that in a lot of cases, unfortunately, artists might stumble across the wrong marketing service. So you, because you're teaching people how to do this the right way and how to actually connect with real people. But there are some, services where it's pay $100 and you'll get 100,000 streams or something like that. And those are the ones that, you're at serious risk of getting shut down for. But I think the issue that I'm thinking of as a wider problem, and it's not just Spotify, I would say it's social media in general, is it sort of there's two variables that really matter. It's the amount of people in your audience, but then the second one is the depth of your connection. Yeah. And the amount is so easy to access. You just can go to anyone's profile and see you have 1,000 or 1,000,000 followers. And so it's just because it's so measurable and easy to see, we end up optimizing a lot of our mental space around how to, to have the biggest number there possible. And often because we don't have the visibility of how the depth of those connections, it's not you can see an artist's email list or you can see the total, you go to the website, it's this artist has generated $10 million from their fan base of, 25,000 fans. It seems it does kind of lead to this prioritization of those kinds of metrics, which are important as long as they're, legitimate numbers, but it's just a missing equation because you don't have that depth of connection.
100%. I do a lot of consulting with artists, and the amount of artists I've met that I look at their Spotify and assume they're just a casual indie band, just getting started or whatever. And then I talk to them and they've been full-time musicians for 5 years and they're touring around the country and they're selling like thousands of dollars of merch a week. And they have a Patreon with 100 people in it, paying them, you know, 10 bucks a month or whatever. And like all that stuff adds up to the point where like you can have nothing online and be making a killing from your music. I remember this one guy, he spent like several years, playing shows but also like selling merch and vinyls and doing these live streams on Facebook. And what he ended up like being a full-time musician off that, he had almost no streaming, but like he would do a live stream every week on Facebook and sell vinyls and make a killing every single time he did one of those streams on Facebook. Like not even a very good organic social media platform, but because of his genre and the type of community that he had, it was actually a perfect fit. And so he started off, and like I typically describe like a lot of the music industry in two kind of camps. There's the industry path and the indie path. And the industry path is streaming, social media, big numbers, but shallow pond, kind of like, you know, wide ocean, shallow pond. And then the indie game is the opposite. It's your smaller social media focus, smaller streaming focus, mostly caring about selling stuff, making money, touring. And that's the opposite, right? It's like a very deep cylinder. Like you have a small fan base, but they're diehard. They're willing to support you. And there's a gradient in the middle, of course. You can do both. But this guy started very basically just in that indie path, so to speak. And then he was using the funds he developed from that to go back and promote his streaming. And that helped him out in a myriad of ways that also supported the indie path. And obviously, plenty of artists try to chase just the industry path, where they want the streaming and the social media numbers. But at some point, you have to pay the bills. And that either means getting signed to a record label or getting some big breaks on the streaming. And because you can make I know plenty of people who do make a living from streaming and stuff like that. But a lot of times that means implementing some of that indie stuff, like selling physical merch or developing a membership program or whatever. And that's kind of where you start getting in the middle. And I think most people don't want to have a tiny audience, like, and make, obviously everyone wants to make good money, but they'd rather make good money and have like a fan base and feel like a lot of people are hearing their music and checking it out. Cause you know, as artists, we want people to check out our music. So I think that middle area is where most people would like to live.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, anyone that tries to pretend like they don't care at all about the quote unquote vanity metrics feels like there's usually a little bit of like it's all of us is almost like it's human. Like, you know, it's just part of, part of being recognized. And for many of us, like becoming a musician, like it's because we had this like need to be recognized and to be seen and be appreciated and heard. So it does, you know, it feels good. Like it's literally a scientific like dopamine release that happens. If we make a post and a bunch of people like it and it's, you know, and people have gotten value in it, it's like, it feels good. So it seems like what you're saying is that, you know, like that's okay to prioritize that, but you can have both. You don't want to necessarily have one without the other, but you know, you want to have the ability to grow and reach more people, but also make sure that you're maintaining a authentic relationship with those people.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's a lot of artists would share music with other people for free before they started taking it seriously. Right. And that's because they love that feeling of having other people listening and enjoying their music. And so, you know, it's in some ways it can be vanity metrics, but in other ways, it's just like that natural thing about like you made a thing and you want people to see it. And sometimes that means doing, you know, focusing on streaming, and sometimes that means focusing on other things, right? Like there's, you know, I know like a lot of what you guys talk about, my musician, you are big fans about like you know, people owning their audience and collecting their fan data, email lists and SMS lists and messenger automations and sales funnels and stuff like that, and that is kind of defined in that like indie scale that I just defined, but like the amount of artists that do that are also big on the streaming is like surprisingly a lot. And in fact, those people that are big on the streaming that start implementing that stuff are the ones who actually cash out the most from it, because they have this base they've built and they have all these fans, but they're not like fully taking advantage is kind of a dirty word to describe it, but they're not fully utilizing their fan base. And then so they start setting up like some mini chat automations, or they start setting up an email list and a SMS list, and they start making some sales funnels, and like immediately they're going from broke artist with, you know, 100,000 monthly listeners to financially viable artist with 100,000 monthly listeners. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it really does kind of come down to those two numbers, doesn't it? Sort of like the reach or the amount you multiplied by the depth of the connection. So if you have like a big audience, if you've kind of built that community, but you haven't been going deep with them, and then you just introduce that, then like now you start to multiply the actual value per person that's in there.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear, as you know, I feel like this is one of your genius zones around like focusing on that part of reaching people, getting the music heard and growing, you know, some things that do matter in the music industry, like that, you know, growing your monthly listeners, growing your Spotify streams. I'd love to hear what you found working best right now as it relates to helping artists use these tools to grow those numbers. Mm-hmm. And then after, I'd also love to hear what you found working best to sort of bridge the gap as well, to help them, you know, both, you know, have that and to be, you know, building the email list and connecting with us.
Yeah. So on the what I'll call the industry side, using my own terminology, is I'd say that the cookie cutter strategy I would tell to the vast majority of artists would be release songs every 4 to 8 weeks, pretty consistently. Every year or two, when you have enough tracks, you can bundle them up and release them in albums and stuff like that. So you're still releasing albums and all that, but you're mostly focusing on singles. If you have a 12 song record, that might end up having 9 singles or 10 singles, or it could have 11 singles technically. And that's a lot of artists would do that. Ideally, for every release, you would have, you know, let's say you're spacing them out 6 weeks apart, you would have at least like 10 pieces of social media content per release, but ideally 20, 30, 40, right? And, you know, that just comes as an equation of how much time you have or how many resources you have to outsource and stuff like that. But you kind of can't post too much in social media. The content should be good though. So don't make crap content at scale, make stuff that's at least like, it should be entertaining. It doesn't have to be a masterpiece. It doesn't have to be shot on, you know, like a red camera or something, but phone content, easy peasy, but still entertaining, and that fits the genre that you're working in. And as much as possible, ideally at least several times a week if you can. Then also for every release, if you can swing it, you know, budget-wise, allocate some type of budget to promoting the release. And the vast majority of that budget, at least for the release, right? Like if you're doing all the other stuff, that can be separate. But if you can justify allocating a certain amount of money per song to promote the streaming / social media aspect of things. So what that could mean is $300 a release, $300 a month, like $10 a day. That could mean 500. That could mean 1,000. Like it literally, I've seen people come to me and they're like, I have $100 per release. And then the next person might be, I have $10,000 per release. And so just depends on what you can swing. The more budget you have to work with, kind of can take the load off your back in terms of social media and all the more laborious aspects of that. You should never stop that stuff because organic is still great and it's going to feed into the ads. But the more budget you have, the less you have to just be like grinding constantly in social media. And then let's say you have $1,000 just to throw out a number. If you had a music video for your song and you're releasing it on streaming, I might allocate something like $850 of that $1,000 to meta ads, what I would call a Spotify conversion campaign, so to speak, driving people to a landing page where they choose where they want to stream, and it kind of promotes all your most of your DSPs in one fell swoop. But since those ads are running through your Facebook and or Instagram, for most artists, Instagram is kind of the dominant one that you would use, unless you have an older fan base. You do also get Instagram growth roughly at the same growth you get Spotify growth. So it kind of promotes two in one at the same time. So that's 850 out of 1,000. I would do like $50 in SubmitHub credits, just some Spotify playlists. SubmitHub vets their curators very much and the volume's not huge. You don't want to have, in my opinion, more than 10 to 20% of your streams in a song in a month from third-party playlists. Like you want the vast majority of your streams to be from what I call high intent listeners, which would be from ads or organic. or your email list if you have an email list. And then the last $100 if you have a music video, would be for YouTube ads. And this would just be to get some momentum happening on YouTube. YouTube ads are, can be a mixed bag. You don't want to run them worldwide and get like dirt cheap countries and you don't want to get like super dirt cheap results in countries that are like opposite side of the world that don't matter to you, unless you live there, of course, then that can make sense. But you kind of want to blend it up. So you want like high volume at a low cost, but you also want most of your views to be in places that are going to make more sense. And that's kind of my cookie cutter. If you're trying to promote a song on streaming, that's what I say. Now, on the opposite side of things, at least I think. What was the second part of it?
That's super helpful, first of all. Thanks for sharing that. And the second part of it was, I was kind of curious just to hear your perspective on, for like kind of that the indie slash industry model, if you have any... like what's your perspective on if someone is listening to this right now and maybe they're not signed to a record label and maybe they'd be open to you at some point if their offer is right or if it was like a good fit, but it's not really like their biggest goal is they want to have a sustainable career that just pays the bills and maybe is like humble goals like of like $5,000 to $10,000 a month and they could be a full-time musician. And hypothetically, let's say that they have a $2,500 budget for like a ad campaign for releasing a new project. Maybe they have like a 3-song EP. Would you like, how would you allocate that budget in terms of, their, Spotify growth and their social growth and potentially like a music funnel type of campaign as well? I'm curious just to hear your thoughts on how they might, allocate a budget like that.
So as you know, it depends on the artist and their goals a lot. So sometimes, a lot of times, in fact, unfortunately, the artist is going to be like, I only care about Spotify streams. And they're like, oh, are you sure? Like, maybe you should do some of this stuff, too. It'll be good for you. And they're like,
no, you want some broccoli?
Yeah. And, you know, like I've tried, you know, some people ask me, like, why do you mostly talk about streaming on your YouTube channel? And the answer is for like a big part of it. And is that that's what people want to watch the most. That's what performs the most. And on YouTube, that's like, that's the mission. That's the game you're playing, right? It's a balance of how can I make content that's going to help the most amount of people that people want to watch. But you can't forget that people want to watch portion of it. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to keep doing it. And people are like, why do you never talk about free plus shipping and handling? So, well, I did a 3-part video series on a free plus shipping and handling funnel I run. The reason why I've never heard of it, because nobody watched it. Right. And so, so I guess if you're curious about that, search my channel, you'll find it, anyone watching. But, so for a 3-song EP artist, the split's going to depend on their exact goals. If they told me that they were planning on like getting into playing shows in the next few months, and like the money side of things is very important to them, then I would probably have them. If they're still early on, I would have them do a big chunk of the budget, like just to throw out a number, let's say 50% to that streaming social media stuff, because they have zero social media. They have zero streaming. And so if they're trying to play shows, they're kind of going to look like a joke for a little bit. And so like, let's get their music's heard and like by promoting it, and let's get some feedback and let's get some fans checking it out and let's get some algorithmic activity happening. But let's break off a chunk of that streaming budget and run it in some local markets around where the artist is playing so we can start developing some type of local fan base. It's not going to be a ton of people. It's going to be way more expensive than the more like not global, but semi-global approach that a lot of artists would take. And depending on how close they are to actually playing shows and touring, et cetera, they might want to run a lead acquisition campaign in those areas too, so they can start growing their list of people who live in those regions. And there's a bunch of ways to do that. Like you can do it with a form on a website, like a funnel type thing, give away a free download or a free behind the scenes video or a video, like a series of like an email sequence with all this extra content. You could do a starter pack type thing, right? Of like digital starter pack of different goodies. I've seen people do physical stuff to get incentivized people on the list. Like I'll send you a postcard. And it's super cheap and it's not too much work. And so You could do that as a sales funnel type thing or a lead funnel type thing, or you could do an instant form on Facebook ads, or you could do a Messenger / Instagram DM automation tactic, however you want to grow that local list. In terms of like selling stuff with the 3-song EP, it's a little difficult and it depends on the genre. I think one of the best ways for people to get into selling stuff, especially to like a cold audience, is the classic kind of free plus shipping and handling thing. And the reality is a CD is like the cheapest way to do that. It's not the sexiest thing. It's not going to work for every genre, but it works for a lot. You know, like I did it with an electronic rock pop project and it actually profited in the end. Took a while. Didn't profit by the time the ad was done, but in the year following the ad, there were so many recurring sales and customers and stuff that it ended up, you know, passing the break even point and being like very, very slightly in the black, so to speak. And that's with a genre I would consider not very good for CDs, right? But recently I've been working with an artist that has like a couple different projects, like a Pink Floyd project. He has like an AC/DC kind of, not like a cover band, but like the vibes kind of like Pink Floyd, the vibes kind of like AC/DC, the vibes like ELO, is all these projects. The CDs and vinyl sales are like crushing, which makes sense. It's an older demographic, but like we're doing a free plus shipping and handling funnel. And in that funnel, we have a bump offer, which temporarily is just a donate $5 button. Literally just says, do you want to support the artist and give an extra $5? 25% of people click that button. 25%. Wow. They get nothing in return. Like in reality, what he does is he throws a few extra stickers in when they click that button, but they're they're not guaranteed anything. So then after that, we have, depending on the funnel, we have like a vinyl bundle and one of them, the other one's just one vinyl. Another one is a 3-CD bundle. And each product is a different take rate, but like the vinyls, we have like a 2-vinyl bundle for $40. So it's $20 a vinyl. And the other one, we have a vinyl for $25. The $25 vinyl by itself selling horribly, but the vinyl bundle, 2 vinyls for $40 is selling, I think it's like 15, 20% of people are taking it. And so you can imagine like anyone that just takes the CD, you're losing money, right? Because you might be technically breaking even when you look at like the shipping you're charging with the cost of the CD and the shipping you're paying. But then with the cost of the ad, it's like you're in the red. Add that $5 bump and it's like, okay, we're almost kind of breaking even. But that if someone gets that vinyl, massively positive. So overall, the kind of goal is like, do we have enough in the right products in the sequence funnel that on average, once people get through the whole thing, like let's say 100 people go through it, that we are going to be break even or positive. Because even if you're a little bit less than break even, you're growing this email list, this contact list that you can sell to and market to in the future. The example guy I'm giving you, like he has a huge collection of music that he's just been making. I don't know how he ended up with so much music without doing anything about it, but that's the reality of what he is. So for us, it's like, we're losing money on this one, but like we have 7 more records for this particular project. And so like every single one of those records, we can send an email. I forget if we're collecting phone numbers too, but we have all this data and contact information. It's going to be profitable. So going back to the 3-song EP case, I don't think I would focus on, especially if you're starting from scratch, I wouldn't focus on anything to sell at that upfront point. I would focus on gaining like a list of people you can contact. And then when you get to the point where you have a full album, you could either try a free plus shipping and handling funnel if you want. You could do CD vinyl. If your genre doesn't play well with that, like if you're doing hip hop, I've seen people do like USB keys. And one way to do that too is, you know, let's say you, actually another guy I'm talking to is doing this. He has a 20-song album done and we're going to release every song every 4 to 8 weeks. But starting from song 1, you can go on his website and buy the full CD, digital download, USB key, etc. So it's like each single, it's like, do you want to wait 2 years for this album to come out? No? Okay, go buy it. Cool, right? We get a little thumbs up from Apple there. So there's a bunch of different ways to do it. It depends on every case. But those are the things I would consider when thinking you know, how can I start to develop an actual deep fan base of people that love me? And actually membership platforms are a fantastic way. Like if you see like the people that do Patreon and you're like, I could make behind the scenes content. I could engage with a fan base, do a live stream every week. One of the artists I work with makes $15,000 a month on Patreon. They
wow.
crush it. And they only do like one, they do a live stream every Sunday for like 30 minutes and they post like their music videos early. They post songs a couple weeks early and they give them discount codes. And it doesn't require more than maybe like an hour a week of their time. And they make $15,000 a month. So it didn't happen overnight, but those are some example paths that you can take if like you're trying to get into like actually making money in music.
Mm. Awesome. So what I'm hearing you say is, and by the way, Andrew, just like a week ago, we just launched a software as a service called Street Team. This is our first like software as a service that isn't like a white labeled service, but one that we built. But it's sort of meant to fill it. Here's my like elevator pitch for it. It's like if Patreon and Discord and Facebook groups had a baby, but instead of Mark Zuckerberg owning your baby, like the artist owns their baby. They own their fan data, so they can build journeys, and it's sort of like a CRM platform meets social media. So I just want to give a quick throw out, because I know last time we talked that front, it didn't even exist yet, so it's kind of new. Yeah. But for anyone that's listening to this right now, they should definitely check out Street Team as well, as it relates to what you're describing of building a membership or building a community that they own.
Hearing you describe it, like I can already start thinking of ways I would like try to get fans into an ecosystem like that and either use it to promote stuff or make money from stuff. And so I haven't even checked it out, but hearing you describe it, it's like, you could do this, you could do this, you could do this. So
we should definitely sync up. I'm sure we'll have a chance to when you interview me on your podcast, which also everyone that's listening to this right now, you should go check out Andrew's podcast and we're doing a podcast swap as well. So, if you want to listen to that as well, then you'll have an opportunity. But we should definitely connect on that. And what I'm hearing you say in terms of like the wider strategy is that often with streaming and with Spotify, one of the biggest, one of the most valuable things you get is this audience that you start to build. And it is a bit like a snowball going down the hill. And it might take some time for the snowball to start to like build, but as it builds, it starts building momentum. And, some people are able to get to a point where they have $15,000 a month, income that's coming in from a membership group. Often with as you grow your community and you grow and you get more monthly listeners, that opens up opportunities for touring and playing live shows, monetizing in those ways. If you have like kind of a short term, like you want to generate revenue with a campaign, a few ways to do that are by having offers on the front end, like a free plus shipping offer with a CD, so that if you do it well, then that might be a faster way to recoup some of the initial ad spend. But often, that there is as you build your community, as the rain starts to fall and you capture it in your rain catcher, that grows over time. And so if you have seven albums worth, then it does continue, like that snowball gets bigger and bigger as you continue to grow, but it does take consistency and continuing to show up and put music out.
100%. Yeah. That free plus shipping offer, like that could just as easily be like the starter pack that I've heard you guys talk about before, right? Where you're doing like, one of my clients was I don't know what program he was in for you, but like he showed me some thingy belt where it was like, he had like a signed poster and he had all these digital goodies. And he also had, I think there was like keychains and some stickers and stuff. And he was selling it for like, it was like $10 free plus shipping and handling. I think it was 10 because he was in Australia. So it had to be a lot higher. And then he had a funnel in the back end where he was selling, I think CDs, vinyls. I think he was an author too. So he had this book that went along with the music. But anyways, like that funnel worked for him too, right? So it's just a matter of like, what products do you think make sense for you? One thing I've heard you talk about is like the selling private parties for like a couple $1,000. And I see some people talk about that and they're like, fuck yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but fuck yeah. That's awesome. I would love to do that. And then I see other people where they're like, there's no way in hell. Like, that's not me. I'm not doing that. Or like, I don't want to hop on Zoom calls with people. Other people like, hell yeah, I'll hop on Zoom calls with people. So, in my opinion, it's all a matter of like, you got to look at like, all the different things that you could do and then think about like what's the most you. Like mm-hmm. some people look at social media. Nope. Look at shipping out CDs and stuff. Nope. But they would love to tour. And other people, they have no interest in touring. So it's like there's a lot of ways to skin the cat of being a music artist or just being a music industry person. And there's some things you have to do, right? You have to make good music. That's no matter what, you have to make good music. And you have to interface with other humans. But aside from that, you can kind of pick your own adventure, you know?
100%. Well, Andrew, man, it's been fun having you on the podcast. Thank you for coming on here and sharing some of your experience and what's working right now for both, you know, the industry, for, you know, those two different paths that you took, both, you know, equally valuable for artists that are looking to, you know, to do music full time. So for anyone that's listening to this right now who is interested in connecting more and diving into your videos or the services that you offer, what's the best place for them to go to learn more?
Yeah, I'd say best is probably just go to my YouTube channel, look up Andrew Southworth on YouTube. You'll find me. I don't know if YouTube links them below, but either way, you'll find me. And AndrewSouthworth.com as well as all my links. My ad agency is called Southworth Media. That's what the squid is. That's our logo.
Nice.
And yeah, we have like, a lot of people are like, how do you have a million little things? So I'm not going to just dump them all right here. Just go to AndrewSouthworth.com or go to my YouTube channel. You'll see everything like down below. But the nice thing about YouTube, nice thing about website is it's free. So you can see if you like what I have to say, what you can learn from me for free, and then see if any of my products or services make sense for you. And if not, I'd still love to have you hang out.
Awesome. Well, like always, we'll put the links in the show notes for easy access. And Andrew, it's been too long. Glad to have you on the podcast. I appreciate you taking the time.
Heck yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable, and if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.